You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and we are here tonight to talk about this eviction episode of Big Brother Canada 9. With me tonight is Melissa. How are you doing, Melissa?
I am doing well. It was a pretty good episode, I think, and I'm really excited to see what the week has in store for us. There was no cliffhanger, so we really can fully talk about the upcoming week. Very excited.
Yes, I honestly, the only thing I need to be happy on a Thursday night is an HOH result. That makes it much better. Mm-hmm. Genuine. I'm much happier. No matter what the outcome is, I'm much happier to have the outcome instead of waiting 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Much
better. So, very happy tonight. Also with me tonight here is Scally. How you doing, Scally?
I'm good, but like Big Brother Canada, funny April Fool's Day prank. Let's put the HOH again. I get it. No, I'm good. I'm excited to talk about the episode and this week we had.
All right. Also with us is Sasha. How are you doing, Sasha?
Great, you know, or as good as I can be with this HOH result. But, you know, I agree, Brian. I also wish that it was an April Fool's joke because I just the worst possible result, I feel, for me. But here we are.
Here we are. Well, what an episode here tonight. After what seemed like a long time of Vic kind of being the main character of the show, she has finally sort of taken a more villainous turn in the edit. They've not quite gone to expose the messiness of Victoria, but they have leaned into the villainous aspect of her as we start the episode right away with her just being pissed off about the veto speech that that Austin gave. Just fake people in this house, so fake people. No.
And she's being the fakest of all. I know, I love it. I love this like villain thing that she's got going on. I mean, especially like even like just skipping ahead really quick to the goodbye messages. I mean, it was brutal, but I loved it. And mm-hmm. if she just kind of turns into the skid like that and makes it so that she is like the villain and isn't, I hate it. We always say this. I hate when people are like, but I'm the good guy. I'm doing all this because I'm the good guy. Like, what's going on? No. That's when you're hated. But to a fun villain is a villain that knows they're a villain and plays into it. And I love that for Vic.
Yeah.
Is she playing into it? I guess that's my question. I think at the end she was, but it like this weird like righteousness. I was like, no, but you're the biggest liar currently. Like, you know, they literally made special effects for you. Like you're the invisible HOH. You're doing all this stuff and then being like, how dare? She doesn't know that I'm lying. So why is she mad at me? And it's like, ma'am, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, she'll say.
I feel like. Oh, go ahead.
No, I'm saying she'll say like, again, no one else is allowed to lie. Like, that's my job. So she gets it. She's self-aware enough. But I think that she thinks that like I can do all of this and I'll be the hero. While maybe that's not always true for Victoria.
Yeah, it's a weird place. It's a weird place for Vic because I think she is a villain, not based on her gameplay, but based on how she is treating other people in the house. But she's leaning into the fact that she's a villain based on gameplay. I don't think she realizes that she's a villain because of her actions, how she treats people in the house, rather than her actions in the game. And so I think that's where the disconnect is. But that doesn't mean that she can't be a good villain, because my favorite villains are the ones that are very self-aware of the fact that, like, I am definitely being a villain in the game, but I'm still nice to people in real life or whatever. Those are my favorite kind of villains personally. But there's definitely still something compelling about somebody who is genuinely just a villainous character, who doesn't even know that they're villainous. It still can, like, provoke emotion from you. If anyone's watching The Circle right now, great villain on The Circle right now, who is another example of this, but Vic is here. I feel like the goodbye message put Big Brother in a corner, where they were like, well, we can't, if Vic just leaves this, we have to show Vic's goodbye message. She's the invisible HOH. And it's the big reveal. We can't exactly be like, Vic, can you actually record something nicer? This doesn't fit the edit. Like, that's not really what they do. So they had to show this, and they couldn't show it without showing the proper context of, like, why she was being like this. So here we go. We have embraced the Vic villain.
I think she played the invisible HOH week kind of wrong. I mean, obviously she played it wrong, but I mean, like, in terms of, like, leaving aside that I think she got out the wrong person, I think also the way that she played it was wrong. I mean, like, why draw so much attention to yourself? Like, why be like, wow, everyone's fake, or wow, you guys didn't even talk to me, and blah, blah, blah. Like, why rile everybody up? I feel like, just, if you're the invisible HOH, just get your target out quietly and you sit in the background and let everyone else do the work. And so that that way people leave the week not mad at you, not frustrated with you, not, like, upset with you for any reason. Like, because presumably they don't know you're the invisible HOH, and don't start drama. Like, that's the whole point, is you're supposed to be invisible. But, like, I feel like Vic was like, well, I'm not getting enough credit for this. I'm not getting enough out of this. So I'm just gonna, you know, create some drama, make people mad at me, or, like, get in arguments, or make them feel like they did this to themselves to get themselves on the block. It was just, it's too much. She always does too much. Like, if she would just put those two on the block and then sit back for the week and just let the week play out, it would have been so much better for her in the long run. Because the second Brayden finds out that she's the invisible HOH after she created all this, like, nonsense about, oh, you guys didn't talk to me, or, well, you know, everyone's fake and I didn't like Austin's speech, it's like, just, like, let it be. Just let it be.
Yeah, but there's a problem.
I'm just cheesed right now.
She's just cheesed. She's very cheesed,
she's
Scally.
Just cheesed.
See, I feel like part of it is that Victoria can't help herself, but I think the other part is Victoria doesn't want to help herself. Her goal is to be well-remembered and a Big Brother legend and maybe win the game after that. So, like, this is all contributing to Victoria's ultimate goal, seeing that, like, maybe she wins, maybe she doesn't, but she can control whether or not she's remembered after this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
It's that clout, man. That Big yep. Brother clout. We love it.
I think the question is, has Vic, has she gone too far? Has she,
it's past a point of no return.
No, not this. Not this.
Is she past a point of no return, Sasha?
Oh my God. I think so, because I agree, Melissa, because one, to me, why aren't you, like, first getting info? To me, she was the one still driving the information and being like, I think it's Beth. I think it's this. Shut up. Like, literally just stop talking and be like, who do you think it is? Oh, why would you think that? Do you not get along with them? You know, is it, oh, you do get along with them. Got it. You know, like, to me, it's like a great moment to know that you can just sit back, get all this info from people, clock where everyone is. But she's, I think, again, everyone's the hero in their own story. And I think she really takes that to her heart, where she's like, I'm good with everyone. So it doesn't even matter what any of these people think. I'm just going to go win another competition and do whatever the heck I want. And like, bye to y'all. And I think that will be her undoing, mm-hmm. I think.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I feel like Victoria is not able to sit back and get information. I feel like she always wants to be the driver. She always wants to be the one, you know, bringing up points to people or like getting people talking. And it's like, that's not what you need to be doing, especially this week when you know you're safe.
Yeah. Well, we are going to see that Ro, this guy's got emotions. He's feeling bad about not using the veto. I love seeing this from Ro. This is the energy that I want him to bring to his game more often, which is like a more emotional side of himself, instead of the sort of more robotic energy that he's been bringing. I mean, he is a champion. We know that. We know he's the most calm, cool, collected person in the house. But it's nice to see a side of Ro that can sort of connect to people on a more emotional level, Sasha.
Sure, right. Like, I feel that I'm a number one Ro fan, but I didn't fall for it. To me, I was like, then why didn't you do something about it? Like, he's sitting here crying and like doing all this stuff, but then it's like your closest ally left, and now you're being like, oh, I wonder why all my allies are leaving, even though I won the veto. Like, what are you doing? How can you not push to get another duo on the block so you can, you know, so you know for a fact that at least one of the duos is leaving? Instead, you're like, what can I do? Sucks for me. My allies are leaving. Like, I don't know. It wasn't for me. Like, And he was already at the bottom. Like, he's acting like, again, he's this like top dog, good with everyone. Like, you're not. You're max fourth for people, you know. And again, I understand it. I appreciate that he's like letting himself be and feel, but a little too late, my guy.
Well, Ro, I guess it's a little too late here for Ro. And it is. It really is, especially with Beth as the new HOH. Things are going to look a little bit tricky for Ro, but there's plenty of speculation, I think, that we can make toward the end of this podcast about what we think Beth might do with this HOH. We do see that the Sunsetters are going to celebrate the veto results. They cannot believe that they weren't targeted. Welcome to the
audience.
Neither
can any of us. And Ro made the absolutely wrong decision, I think. I mean, it's like, yeah, sure, you could say, okay, yeah, I'm good with you guys. But it's like, they know that you're friends or whatever, or at least working or friends with Brayden and Austin. And it doesn't make any sense to just like put all your eggs in the Sunsetter basket and be like, well, I guess I'm with them now. It does not make sense. They should understand, like, he should understand that they should understand that if he takes one of them off the block, it makes sense. He can justify it. He can say, like, look, I'm really close with so-and-so. Like, I needed to take them off. Who knows what the invisible HOH is going to do? And I'm sorry about that, but like, I had to do it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. They're not going to put him as their number one ally on their list. Jed, Ty, or Beth. Like, none of them are going to put him as their number one ally. So like, why try and appease them? It just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Especially after he's like having that half step of recognizing I'm not playing as well as I think I am, but can't take like the full step to saying, okay, then maybe I should try playing differently than I planned on. Like, you won the power and then you're complaining about not having any power after choosing not to use the power that you did have. It's tough. And like, I get what he was going for, but he's not following through, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, we're then going to transition into some filler content here. Some advertising. There is a task. The task is for the halves of the week. And this is where they
passed a point of no return.
They passed a point of no return.
A lot of them were saying pasta. Is that a thing in Canada?
Pasta. Yeah.
Sure.
Is it? I don't know.
I like pasta point of no return better, but they were saying pasta.
Pasta is wrong. As someone who's partially Italian, I have to say, pasta is not okay.
I can't believe
the audacity.
The audacity of
she said it so many times too that she now cannot play that off as like, oh, it was just like I misspoke in that one situation. It's like she said it multiple times now.
Right? Like, where? Okay. To me, it is astounding. It is audacious.
It's audacious, Terry.
Audacious. That this is clearly a word that is part of her vocabulary. And never once in her life has somebody been like, oh, thick.
It's not that.
That's not
or,
it.
Or even just been like, wait, what?
Huh? The producers are probably like, say that again. What was that word? Yeah. Say it again. We needed it again. We need the sound bite. Sorry, that you did so well. Wow, you're amazing. But we need it again. Like that's what the producers are doing.
We're looking for a phrase right now. That's the can you believe what the Habs did? What is the word we're looking for? Where you know they it's can't like, we can't believe that they would that they would do that. You know what is the oh. Oh, it's
the audacity.
Yeah.
Audacity.
That one. You nailed it.
Oh, my God. Which, by the way, I do want to say that, like, if we're going to have filler content, like, I am more than happy to have this kind of filler content. This was so great. I love these sort of tasks. Like, I love the tasks where, like, no one gets, like, hurt by it and no game gets hurt by it. Like, it's just a fun thing. And then everyone gets a reward in the end. Although, to be honest, was it everyone getting a reward or was it just the have nots? It seemed like it was not a feast for everyone.
Yeah.
True. But you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's true. The pasta they made did not look that great because it was like the sauce was all over the floor. So they just ate like plain noodles.
Well, Victoria said she would lick it off the floor, so they seemed to be desperate at that point.
I love how Kiefer's like, I'm so pissed about this, but it smells so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all just like sitting there. I was like, stop. Like, I have never been on slop, so I don't know. It looks like it really struggled. Like, you can really struggle. And then poor Austin, she just couldn't. It's in my hair and I can't eat it. It's in my hair and I can't eat it. Bulla Jackson, girl. Just go like in the shower. Just do it.
I mean, she has the water running down her hair. Just exactly. Let it kind of drip into your mouth, right?
Oh, God.
Missed
shower
opportunity.
Shower water sauce.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
You're just cutting it with some water. That's all.
It's pasta water.
Really. I agree, though.
Oh, yeah.
I did enjoy this. At least the first, until they started cleaning. And then it was like, then you could tell they were fake upset because they knew it was a task at that point. But especially the start of this, when Beth was just like, let's make some spaghetti. And she's like, whoops, here's some sauce all over the counter. Oh, no, I stepped on a meatball. I was just like, yes.
Yeah, that was so good. I loved it. She and then when Keeper's just like, is that meatballs on the ground? Is that pasta on the ground?
Are those spaghetti noodles? That was Keeper's reaction.
And then she steps on the meatball. Like, girl, what is you doing? Like, it's a mess.
So good. And then, I love when they're like, this pasta's bad. They just like throw it.
They're supposed to check if it's done, right?
So, yeah.
They should have just kept doing that. But I also appreciate filler content that elicits some kind of response from me. Like, I was like, oh, this is so annoying. Like, how can you do this to the have-nots? This is so mean. Like, you know, and I was like, oh, I would just be like, just put a self vote for me. I don't even care. I'm not cleaning this up. Like, screw them, you know, until I probably got the card and be like, oh, okay, Big Brother told me to.
But I was watching it and I was just watching it like normal. But then I realized I had like the largest smile plastered across my face during the whole segment. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm really loving this. It was so good.
Yeah, and they were
just cheesed right now.
They're so cheesed.
So cheesed.
I wonder if they put cheese in the pasta.
They did. Ro was grating it.
There you go.
There you go.
The pasta, you know what I was thinking about? I was like, I'm very glad that Tara is not a have not, because I could only imagine how pissed she would be if she was a have not watching them make this mess. She'd be like, yeah, this is basically a status quo for these guys. This is the way they cook anyway.
You just know, because we even got a diary room session after they cleaned. She was like, they did such a good job. You know, she was in that kitchen with a clipboard like, all right. Okay. You did all right here. All right, it passed inspection.
It's like Sam. Like Sam from BB20. Yeah. Sam was like, they're so dirty. Mm-hmm. They're like always having these like vibes of like, they're just don't do this. They're filthy. They're this. That's like what Tara gives me. Like calling Beth, on Wednesday yesterday, like messy. And then you know what? We know what she's been saying about everyone else. So Tara is giving me V-Sam vibes here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can expect her when she's making a mess, like pouring pasta into the trash. Like, oh no.
Oh man. And just like just seeing this, the best part for me was the best part in the beginning. I just loved her whole thing. I really part of me is like no, but part of me is like I kind of want to do that someday. As long as I don't have to clean up.
Exactly.
So we're then gonna get it's a tradition here in Big Brother Canada. We got a rain kiss.
Yeah. Y'all, why do they do this? Like, is this a Bollywood movie? Like, what is going on? Like, literally, I like the fact that they tricked Kiefer. Like, that was a cute little moment. And then it just got weird. Like, I was like, who cares? And why did Ty already know what they were doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how they all were just like, oh, yeah, they're probably just kissing in the rain.
They're doing like, the rain kiss.
They all just knew.
Yeah.
Ty probably pulled that move with Beth last week.
Every week, it's a new rain kiss.
You're manufacturing the rain kiss. The whole point of the rain kiss is that it's like, oops, it's raining. You know what I mean? Like that's yeah, the you're rain like, kiss.
Oh no, we're caught in the rain. Yeah. What do? We kiss. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Not just like, okay, let's be alone. Kiefer, I think you were called in there. Please leave. Okay, and now we're gonna kiss.
Yeah, this is literally like it had been raining and there's like stuff like some water is dripping from the top of a building. Ew. And everywhere else is dry. And then and people are like, oh, let's run away. Oh, it's rain kiss. Because literally, there's a small section of the house that has rain coming in. So they literally ran to the rain to be like, oh, we're in the rain kiss.
I also love how Big Brother's like, we have to include this kiss. We have to. Obviously. It's so important.
For who? No.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's just see if we get some neck kissing. In the following episodes.
Mama.
It didn't happen in the rain, though.
Mm-hmm. That is true. Yeah, so
they won't include it.
Yeah,
true. It
only like rain kisses.
Yeah. It's not rain or shine.
Happen in the rain.
Melissa, yeah. what percentage is the rain kiss?
Oh, goodness. That's pretty high up there, you know. That's very, very intimate. I don't know. We'll have to talk to Puya about that one. Mm. I'm sure he knows all about it now.
All right. All right. Well, we move on from the rain. The rain kiss is done. It's the checked off checklist. It's time to get some tea with TNT.
Tea with TNT.
I like that. I like Tina was like, come get some tea with TNT. they talk about how Beth thinks that she has braid, and we're getting into the campaign section of the episode. And if Beth has Brayden, that might not be good for them because they want Brayden to go after the guys. And if Beth has Brayden, then he won't be going after the guys. So they check in with Brayden and he reassures them that he's going after the guys here, Scally.
Yeah, it was Brayden's reassuring, but also saying like, no, Beth thinking that she has me, it's good for us, which I think they saw through pretty quickly as it being good for him, not them. But yeah, Brayden is doing his best. It seems to have put Tara like at ease for now. But I don't know that it necessarily convinced them that he was better than Austin.
Yeah. We then get the real meat of this. Austin pitching to Beth. We saw this yesterday on the feeds. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened here is that Jed had made some comments to Beth the night before about how her game is basically reliant on Ty and Jed. That was the message that she got from, at the very least. And so she was in a very prime position to be receptive to this kind of campaign. And that's when we got her talking about how she doesn't want to work for the guys in this game anymore, Sasha.
Yeah, I mean, about time. Like, where have you been? And then she says that, but then her confessional, like, pick a side. It was weird.
Yeah. I just saw Peely make a tweet here. Who did it better? Kevin and Peely or Jed and Beth? Uh-oh. Rival showmances.
Competition.
Man, that's a good still though. Peely and Kevin. That was a good one. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough to beat.
I was already convinced.
Yeah. That's one of those questions where you already knew the answer, Peely. You already knew
the
answer.
I just want to hear it.
Just like Vic, just tell me all the good things about me.
So Beth is contemplating this. Could she make this flip happen? The way that she would do it is she would flip her vote. It would be her, Tina, Tara, and Ro. She would potentially blame her vote on Kiefer. Scally, how do you feel about this idea? This the pitch to blame the vote on Kiefer. Is it going to work?
I'm not really convinced that's going to work ultimately for Beth. I don't know that cutting Kiefer off completely and really encouraging him to go to the other side is the great move here.
Yeah. I feel like when you've reached the point in your game where you're pitching that somebody blamed their vote on somebody, like, that is the Hail Mary. That is the last resort because they've already turned you down. Well, but if you can't do it because people will be mad, then you can blame it on somebody else. And it's like, oh, that's, when has that ever really happened? Right. Where, there have been, especially in Big Brother 20, votes that have been, close, and the flip, you know, the swing vote disguised their vote as somebody else's vote. Sure. But in those scenarios, it was a solid alliance making a plan to do that. It wasn't one person from the other side who was convinced to blame their vote on somebody else. That, to my knowledge, has never actually worked, never actually happened. Once you've reached this part of the pitching, it's honestly, in my opinion, not even worth an avenue worth going down. If Beth is really going to do this, she's going to have to convince the guys to be okay with it.
Right.
And that's the path I think that you should go down, Melissa.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I was going to say, like, why was that not even discussed? I mean, I just feel like if I'm Austin, like, my option here is to talk to Beth, like, get in with Beth. If Beth thinks it's good for her game to keep me, then she has to be the one to then take that idea to the guys and her alliance and use that to change the vote. And that's the way it works. I mean, eventually then you could come in once Beth has kind of set the groundwork, then you could come in and kind of be like, look, I want to work with you guys or whatever. This is good for you. But I just think that, like, trying to convince one person to go against everyone in their alliance and then blame a vote on someone in their alliance, it just seems wrong. It doesn't make any sense. And if I'm Beth, you know, I think the initial argument that, like, Austin should stay is legit. I think you're like, okay, cool, that makes sense. But then the method that's proposed, it just doesn't work. If I'm Beth, I wouldn't want to go against my alliance like that and then have to, like, blame it. It's so much easier, especially for something that doesn't really matter. Like, yeah, sure, maybe Austin can be beneficial for you if you can solidify something with her. But, like, overall, like, it's not that important that Beth keep Austin around. So it's like, why go against the whole alliance? Why go to all this trouble? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and go against her showmance, right? Like, to me, that's an ad. added layer of like, it's not even game, at least with both of them, one of them, I don't know, where it's more there's feelings involved. And I think that's another piece that Austin needs to understand that, hey, like she, you know, they're connected. And it isn't just game, at least from what I see, right, as Austin. So how do I kind of say, like, for the both of you, like, you know, you can cut me at 3 or you can cut me at 4, whatever, like, you know, I've won a lot of stuff. Like, you know, I won't, you know, strike some deals, do something. But I think Arisa also said, why did you start campaigning so late? And Austin didn't really have an answer, I feel.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good question because Austin's campaign actually was pretty decent at the very end. So it's like if she had only just done that the entire time, like maybe she'd be staying.
Yeah. I mean, that's I still feel this way. I feel like Austin had potential in the game. I just feel like it kind of the game moved away from her and she just kind of let it float away between kind of wanting to lie low and kind of having that strategy. And then also being so focused on the friendship with Brayden that, you know, the game just moved, just kept moving along and she just kind of stood there and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunate.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We get to the vote, and this is going to be unanimous. Unanimous vote against Austin. Something that I did find interesting is that Kiefer, in his vote, did the sunsetter thing with his hands. Now he is the one that came up with that thing. He loves it. He's always telling Jed and Ty to do it. So, you know, not super surprising to see him do it. Obviously, Jed also does it. But I think it's particularly meaningful for Kiefer because I'm always looking for, like, who is Kiefer most loyal to? And the fact that he's still doing the sunsetter thing, I think, shows that he still has a lot of pride in the sunsetters and that that is not just smoke being blown toward the guys, that he is still very loyal to this. It does not mean that he will not turn on Beth. He doesn't really see Beth as a true sunsetter. Beth came in late. He's always said this. But Beth is the HOH this week, so that's not really going to matter in the short term. But I did think that it was this could be a little bit indicative of where he lies here, Scally.
Yeah, for Kiefer, it seems like he has a lot of pride in this alliance. He's definitely, like, when he was HOH, he had them up in the HOH room all the time, like, you know, rallying around with them, jumping around, being all excited. So it's not super surprising to see from Kiefer. I think ultimately it shows that he's not going to outwardly make this shot or necessarily encourage it, but he probably will let it happen should someone else try to take it.
Austin is evicted unanimously. We get an interview. We get the goodbye messages. Interestingly, Beth also in the goodbye message. We haven't seen this since Josh left, but she's going to drop the Sunsetter Alliance on Vic. I was shocked by that. Yeah, I've been in alliance with Toya, Tina, Ty, Jed, and Kiefer. I knew that Tina had been doing work on Beth in the last few days in particular, like about, hey, we're Sunsetters. But to hear Beth name drop the Sunsetter Alliance to Austin, I think I said to Vic, to Austin, was definitely surprising, Sasha.
Yeah, and I actually even laughed because I was like, have these people aren't even around or in the Alliance anymore? Like, what's... So it was very confusing for me, but I appreciated it. I think it's a good way for Beth to kind of insulate herself and not really like come off as like, hey, you know, I didn't lie to you and that conversation wasn't meaningless. It was more that like I just have other people that I care about more or that, you know, I cared about pretty quickly and you were just late. And this, I think, helps because when Austin, I think, was replying, like she didn't say anything bad about Beth or any, you know, bad blood between them. So I think it's just a nice thing. I don't know. It doesn't affect the game regardless, except for us to know who Beth is kind of still seeing in that core, which is helpful info for us. But I think that's kind of it for I don't think it like changes the game per se.
Yeah. I mean, I think like it's good for Tina that she's still included, but at the same time, like so was LaToya and she's not in the house anymore. Exactly. So I think Beth, what she's doing here is she couldn't make the move to save Austin. So she's practicing for jury and explaining why I had a separate game. Here it is. Let me lay it out. And then so I expect to see a lot more of this from her in the future.
Yeah, and I definitely think it was in response to a conversation they had a couple of days ago where Austin said to Beth that she's fake and that she broke trust with her. And so I think she's kind of like, look, the reason why is that I was working with these five people. That's why I was considering this flip. But I never intended to, you know, go against you in particular, which is true. But there we go. We're also going to get the Vic goodbye message that we have talked about. And she's still cheesed right now. So, she's going to go in hard here. And I thought this was pretty good. I thought in terms of like a crushing, like villainous goodbye message, it was like, and she was kind of saying facts too. Like you isolated yourself with Brayden. You didn't play this game hard enough. Glossy Posse is dead. She even took out the lip gloss. Like, that's all fun. She also said something that I thought kind of tarnished the legitimacy of this goodbye message, which is, I'm aligned with everyone in the house.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you think that.
Yeah.
You know, how the mighty will fall is how that's going to come off. Because, yeah, again, like Melissa, you said at the start, right? Like we were like, yes, thank you. Know, we appreciate this. We like this kind of owning your game, because I think it would have been even more annoying for me if she would have kind of been like, Austin, you didn't work with me and it's your fault. But she was kind of like, yeah, like you just didn't do well. This is not summer camp. And I took my shot. Like, she's wrong, but it's fine. Like you still in your reality, you did it. But I think again, she just believes this and this is like her truth. And I think anyone that stands in the way, Austin, Beth, whoever else will be the next woman, it seems like in her way, like she's gonna, they're gone. They're out. At least that's what LaToya also, right? Like they've just kind of, she, in her mind and in mostly reality, they have been gone and she took them out, quote unquote. So, so I understand the cockiness, but like, it's not going to be good for her later.
Yeah. I think that's why she thinks she's like the best to play and the greatest of all time, is because she thinks legitimately that she's aligned with everyone in the house and that everyone's under her spell and that like she's just gonna one by one take them out, and that like no one was on to her this week and that everyone didn't know that she was the, you know, the mystery HOH, and then she just like got out her biggest target and now she's just going to one by one take them down. And that's like not the way it's going to go. That's not what's happening here. And we're seeing that because we're seeing everyone else's conversations on the side. Like, yeah, I think Vic is the the invisible HOH, or like, yeah, I'm not actually working with Vic, but she thinks we're working together. Like, we're seeing that stuff, but she's not. So she thinks like, wow, I'm running this house. This is easy. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it turns out.
Yeah. And the worst part is too, like Austin is one of the few people left in the house that was actually working with Vic. And I tweeted this out and a lot of people were like, no. Austin threw Vic under the bus last week. But that's Kyle logic. This week, that was self-preservation last week. This week, Austin had very few people left in the game. She had Roe, Pinatera. Obviously, I'm sure Austin would throw Vic under the bus again in the future if she needed to, especially with the way that things were handled this week. But this week, the people talking about going after Vic, backdooring Vic, are Ty, Jed, Beth, Tina, Tara. Like, everybody in the house doesn't trust Vic anymore. The only people left who even didn't think that she was the invisible HOH were Austin, Brayden, and Roe. They were the only people who believed in her in any way. Vic has Kiefer. I don't think Kiefer would go after Vic. But apart from that, not a single soul in that house trusts her. And that is not a great place to be. It's certainly not working with everyone in the house.
Mm-hmm. Certainly and you can not. You can tell Austin that, like, this is Big Brother, not Find Your Bestie, like, which I probably would watch. But she, like, the problem is that, like, it kind of is in a way. Like, Austin had people that wouldn't go after her. Victoria does not have that. Yeah. So, like, they were missing a little bit of each other's games. And, oh, what do you know? Maybe they actually should have worked together. But unfortunately, Victoria doesn't recognize that she's missing that part.
And I think the rest of the house kind of knows how to work Victoria, where they're like, oh, this is what she requires. She requires attention. She requires, like, you know, what Kiefer does it best, right? Where, like, you're an all-star. You're the greatest player. Like, she needs
greatest
that.
Greatest to ever play the game.
Period. So, you know, and that's things that she requires,
and,
right?
Yeah, but I think and then Ty and Jed are kind of just like, what's up?
What's up, cutie? Yeah, that's literally but and that's what she needs. And I think part of being a good Big Brother player, being a social player, right, is that, yeah, you know that, hey, this is what this person needs. This is what this person needs. And here's how I need to act. Versus, I think, Austin, who just genuinely liked Victoria. So she wasn't, like, thinking in that, I think, like, strategic way, which also, I think, hurt her. And, you know, like, them not checking in as much or whatever Victoria's, like, many excuses were.
Yep. So we're going to head over to the HOH competition, which we get on the episode. So good. They were kept up all night. We thought this might be an April Fool's prank, but it was not. The prank was the pasta. And this was a real HOH competition. I like it. They're going to see calendars of themselves. I was not overly impressed with the calendars themselves, Sasha.
Yeah, I mean, they were meant, like, the only thing I noticed, I don't know if y'all did, was like, it was almost the same outfit Austin had in her eviction. Like, at least I saw the jeans. I didn't pause it. And the bag in her hand with Arissa. But she, and then it cuts to her, like, looking at it. So that was the only weird part where I was like, and I'll go back and watch it because I need, mm-hmm. I want to, like, screenshot it. But that was, again, I was like, what, why are you so shady?
Yeah.
Big Brother. But everything else was, like, you know, pretty, like, basic or, like, low budget. But that one, I was like, shady, shady, shady.
Yeah. Like, it might be a foregone conclusion, but she's still here. You're showing her, like, right. Her reality tomorrow.
Yeah.
So maybe you should have picked a different house guest for that one.
Yeah. So we get to questions, and I was really personally taken aback. I really just feel like this is such a no-brainer to not let the previous HOH compete in this HOH competition. They, like, my solution was just have it a similar thing, have it in booths, have mm-hmm. it be anonymous. Mm-hmm. Then you can easily just eliminate the previous HOH. And they did already have questions. They were in booths. Mm-hmm. You could have just been like, oh, round two, Victoria, you got that one wrong. You're out of this competition. Mm-hmm. Like, easy as that. Now she does go out in round two anyway, so it's not going to matter. But still, I just like, I feel like that was such an easy thing. It's yeah. You could have got that right.
Yeah.
Imagine her winning again. Oh my God. Actually, I would have loved it because drama. I literally to live in her head for one day. But oh my, can you imagine? She would have. It would have been a wrap for everyone else. Like, give the crown to her. Like, she would have been walking on air.
In most scenarios, though, I think we would not want back-to-back the same HOH.
No.
Right?
I don't actually, but I think the content would be...
No, with Vic. With Vic. I agree. With Vic. Yeah.
Only Vic. Only Vic.
Yeah. No. Go ahead, Melissa.
No, I was just going to say it. No, I think you're totally right. I think that they could have absolutely easily made it so that they took out the previous HOH without anyone knowing that it was fake. Like, just eliminate them. They wouldn't know.
Yeah. Somebody mentioning that Sheldon won back-to-back last year. And that was a situation where, you know, his HOH was invalidated and the fair thing to do was to let him compete again. And so you kind of had to take the hit of like, okay, we got the same HOH twice in a row. That sucks, but it was the fair thing to do. It was the right thing to do. This is the complete opposite. The fair and right thing to do is to not let them compete again. And it also has the bad outcome most of the time of the same HOH twice in a row, which most of the time would be very boring. That just felt like it's such a no-brainer, but what are you going to do? So we get to this competition, Tara and Vic out first, then like everyone goes out except for Bray. It was Bray, Ty, Jed and Beth. Am I right there?
I think Ty went out too.
It might have just been Bray, Jed and Beth.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Then Bray goes out and it's just Jed and Beth. And this is, I mean, obviously huge for the Sunsetters that they're going to win this HOH. They're going to stay safe. They're going to be able to take out another oddball number probably. That's great. The fact that it's Jed and Beth going into a tiebreaker together, the showmance, I definitely think increases the target on their back. Now, again, they needed this HOH. So the fact they won it is great for them. But I do think this was a bit better for Ty, who gets protected. And it's like, look at these two. They're killing it in these things.
Do you think that Jed threw it?
That is a good question, because I was assuming that Jed would want to throw this here. He said his
answer was so wrong.
Yeah. Right. He said in his pregame stuff that he wanted to appear weak in mental comps. Didn't do a great job at that, but there's really no reason for him to win over Beth here, especially because Beth has been expressing this feeling of inferiority. Like, give her the power, prop her up, make her a bigger target. Jed doesn't need this. If Beth has it, Jed is fine. There's no reason to want to win this. And if you're Beth, there's also no reason to want to win this other than maybe trying to make a case for herself. So there is actually some incentive, I think, in Beth's mind to feel like, okay, I want the power. I want to win competitions. I want to make a case for myself if I do get to the end with these guys. So it's really a situation of like, yeah, just let her have it. And she is very close. She was like 13 off. And he was 300 off.
Right. So, well, it was just such a wrong answer. I mean, like, that's like 2 months worth of date that he put in, but like 60 something. It's like, okay, well, they only had like 3 days each month blocked off. So you already know that that's a wrong answer. Like, I just feel like the only thing I can think of is like, maybe he was trying to make sure he went under.
Yeah.
But like, I cannot see that being a legit answer.
Did anyone remember the exact question that was asked?
How many days don't have any writing on it, don't have any events on it. And each month only had like three events, two events, whatever. So if you multiply, like, I mean, it's 365, and then you subtract like three each month. That's not 60.
Yeah, he wrote like 63.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe he interpreted the question wrong. Maybe he thought it was how many days were blocked off.
Maybe. Yeah, because otherwise, like, we've seen Jed and Ty, like, doing math in the backyard, trying to figure out the number of balls in the ball pit. Mm-hmm. No, he's smart. So, either a throw or he misheard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see him throwing maybe I'm wrong, but and like we'll get a confessional that he's like, oh, I threw it because I needed to, you know, make her feel blah, 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 because he messed up. Right. And told her, like, what would your game be without if Ty and I wouldn't be here? So maybe. But I just, again, they're all playing kind of surface level games. Like, I don't know that they're such masterminds. So that's why I don't know that he threw it. Like, yeah, I'm more that maybe he just misunderstood the question.
Well, I don't know that the motivation was there to, like, let's let Beth think that, like, she has more. Oh. Like, I don't know about that. Oh, yeah, yeah. As much as, not that they know there's a double eviction coming next week, but they know it exists. And I'm sure that True. Jed would love to play in a double eviction HOH.
Yeah, and that was big news here. Mm-hmm. The jury is starting, and it is a double eviction next week. Definitely big news for the Stockwatch, as that will probably have some major implications on this week's ratings. This should be a good week for Ty and Jed, but the double eviction may put a cap on how confident we feel about the players' chances. We're just going to have to see how this week plays out. Here we are, double eviction next week. What is this going to mean? With Beth as the HOH, who do we think she's going to target? And what does that mean heading into the double? She has definitely expressed interest in targeting Vic. She has expressed no interest in targeting Tina or Tara. She has ratted Ro out, but still feels like she has a good relationship with Ro. She feels like Brayden will do whatever they want, but was heavily considering getting rid of Brayden this week because she doesn't feel like he's valuable to her game. So it seems like target wise, I feel like Ro, Brayden, Vic are her most biggest potential targets. I feel like Brayden is going to be working his way in as much as he can. So she may back off on that one. I could see Ro being the target. I could see Vic being the target. Small chance as well of Tara being the target, especially if she misbehaves this week. but it really does feel a bit up in the air to me right now in terms of who she will nominate, because she's always been somebody that has been like, I don't know what I would do if I was HOH. I don't want to piss anybody off. And maybe that means she does put up Tina and Tara as pawns and then goes for a backdoor. I don't think so, but it's possible if she really wants to avoid blood. Or she could just go straight at like Ro and Vic, or Ro and Tara, or Ro and Brayden, and maybe backdoor Vic if there's an option. I really think that Vic will be a backdoor option. If Ro wins the veto, watch out Vic, because I think that Beth may have it in for her. And I think that would be, it's interesting for Beth. Because taking out Vic is a huge win for the oddballers, because Vic is actually a sunsetter. And so for Ro and Brayden and Tina and Tara, it's like, whoa, we just dodged a bullet. We're heading into this double eviction with a numbers advantage. That's huge. But on the other hand, so you'd think like terrible mistake for Beth. But on the other hand, Vic is targeting Beth. Vic is not really a sunsetter because she's actively targeting Beth and that's a sunsetter. So Vic isn't really a number, but she's kind of a number. So it's kind of like, what does she really do here, Sasha?
I take Vic out. If I was Brayden, especially, like, I think he needs to sing that guess who was telling me that I should be thinking it's you as the HOH, you know, and I'd even not make up, but, you know, I'd add some spice to it to like, you know, make it more attractive. But yeah, if it was Brayden, I think Brayden knows he's at the bottom. I don't know how at the bottom he thinks he is, but like, I hope he understands that, you know, he doesn't really have that many people in the game. So he just needs to start being like, Beth, how do we kind of, you know, get something going? And here's kind of my peace offering to you, that here's what I noticed, and, you know, happy to like keep giving you info, or, you know, something where you don't want to like become a rat or like a weasel. But I think he has to let Beth know about Vic so that they can kind of go at each other, and he can either be a pawn or kind of just out of the crossfire.
Yeah. I kind of feel like Vic is the right move. I don't know if it's the move Beth will make, but I think Beth can very easily run this middle line. I think as long as she can talk the guys into it and convince Kiefer to not be so pissed at her, people will probably be pissed either way. But I think Tina and Tara will look at it as a huge win if Beth targets Vic, because it's not targeting them. And they're going to be like, great, we don't need to go after Beth. Ro will take it as a huge win that he's not being targeted. She can look at it. She can take the line of Brayden, Ro, Tina, Tara. One of you might be on the block, but I'm targeting Vic this week and not one of you. Take that as a win. And I think they would. Yeah. And I think they'd still go after the guys. And she can win over Brayden. She can win over Ro by doing that. And take out the person who is targeting her the most. Leaves Kiefer in the game, who is also targeting her probably after that. But Kiefer still has to contend with Ro. I think it's the right call. I do, Melissa. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. And I think this is a really good opportunity for Brayden if he can take it. I think that he should be desperately trying to get in with Beth this week. And I think that could be his in. It seemed like they were, you know, friends originally until everything fell apart. But I do think that Sasha's right, that he needs to go to Beth and be like, look, like, I want to work with you. I don't have anyone in this game. Here's what I heard this past week. This is like what I've been told about you, like, and kind of, yeah, like throw Vic under the bus. I think he needs to just be like, I'm all alone and I want to be with you. Like, I can be your person. Like, I know you've got these guys, but they also have each other and I'd like to work with you. Boom, done. And I just think that that's the way he needs to go. So we'll see if he can pull it off. But if he can, I think he can put himself in a decent spot moving forward.
Yeah. And I think they just, whoever is pitching to Beth, I think also needs to be cognizant of the fact that they should not like try to throw the boys under the bus. I think that is not the way to get kind of Beth on your side. I think it definitely needs to be like a, you know, they have each other, but like, that's fine. I know that's fine for you. So, you know, here's how I can do it. And I think like if, Rohan or even like a Tina or Tara, we know, might say that. And I think that might actually piss Beth off a little bit. And then that might get them in trouble and, you know, kind of have a new chain of events kind of start because of that. So I just hope that no one kind of pushes the boys like too much, because I just don't think Beth is still there yet.
Yeah,
I think it's...
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think it's a question. It's not a question of like, we need to get these guys out because they're working together. I think it's a question of like, look, down the line, like these guys are going to have each other and you need to have someone. And I'd like to be your person like that, rather than saying like, I'll get out the guys and like, you need to take them out. It's more like, I can be with you. That way you don't have to worry. And I think that that's the way it needs to be played. Mm-hmm.
And it puts the guys in a tough spot this week, because this should be an amazing week for them. They're safe, which is huge. And on top of that, they should be able to take out a number that is on the other side that is coming for them. And if Beth takes out Vic, that's a number that's not coming for them. This could be, again, it's a good week for them that they're safe. But if Vic leaves, this is a bad week for them, because, again, they're heading into that double eviction with the numbers on the other side. It's going to be Jed, Ty, Kiefer versus Tina, Tara, Ro, Brayden. Depending on where Brayden actually goes this week, it's possible that they really do pull Brayden in. That would be big. But Vic leaving would still be bad, because Vic is not going after the guys anytime soon. So the motivations are truly at odds here. When Beth was talking about, I'm going to work for me and not the boys anymore, it was like, okay, sure, but what does that really mean this week? It doesn't really mean anything. Austin versus Brayden doesn't really matter. This actually does. Their interests are actually conflicting here. And I'll be very curious to see. I think this is going to be Vic's defining moment, Beth's defining moment. Can she, go in the direction that is good for her, or will she allow the guys to pull her in the direction where she actively keep somebody that is actively gunning for her in the game just because she's protecting the guys? That's gonna be the question, Scally.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be hard. Even though like getting Vic out is the right move, that initial Vic nom is not gonna be a fun situation to be in. Like, she's not going quietly. I mean, we saw how she reacted when she saw that people were throwing her under the bus before. I think it's gonna be a whole lot worse in terms of how many people are throwing her under the bus this week. So I just feel like, yeah, that back door could be incoming. And I think that is probably the move you would want to go with Victoria, but I don't know how she sells it to that other side of the house also.
Yeah. If I had to guess right now, because I've been looking, we have no indication yet of what Beth is going to do. They've just been hanging out, rubbing each other's backs in the HOH room all night. We don't have any spoilers for you here tonight as of right now. But if I had to guess, my guess would be Tara and Ro on the block initially. If one of them wins the veto, we may be looking at a Vic backdoor. And if Vic touches the block, even if she's against Ro, I think she probably goes. Because I don't think Beth is willing to put Vic on the block and not send her home. That would be my guess. That would be my guess. But it really could be so many different combinations of so many different things. So I'm interested to see where she goes. Again, this is the moment. This is going to be the test for Beth. This is her opportunity to go from just kind of riding along and letting the guys kind of take this and hoping that maybe they get taken out and maybe getting lucky in the end versus taking control of her own fate and forging a new path for herself. And I'm curious to see if she'll make this work, Sasha.
Yeah, and I think that also sets the tone for the rest of the season, because I think if Rohan and whoever, this other side of the house besides Vic goes up and they end up going out and then, you know, like kind of snowballs into the double eviction, maybe someone else, you know, on this other side goes out. I think then we kind of, unfortunately, and I don't want to jinx it, knock on wood, but like, yeah, I think we see then it kind of maybe steamrolling again. So I'm very stressed. So I really think that for the season, this is kind of that tipping point, and we hope that Beth does the right thing for herself and, you know, for the viewers too.
Yeah, I really hope Beth can pull it out this week. I feel like she can. I feel like I see it in her. I feel like she's kind of just been like laying low and playing it pretty easy because she could, and she didn't really need to do anything. But I do feel like Sasha's right. This is it, and she needs to pull it out. So if she can't, then, you know, I don't know. But I think she can, and I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's I think close to what we have here for tonight. Definitely an interesting enough result. If Beth does end up going the route of, you know, sending Ro out the door or Tara out the door, I think, and the guys start pulling Brayden in, I think that this may be the week where we start to look at, okay, these guys are starting to run away with this. Now with a double eviction still in play, one of them could easily go home. But even if one of them does go home, we're still looking at a pretty strong crew there, and it's going to be tough for the other side to work their way back from taking a hit this week if that happens. So this is definitely a pivotal week here in the game. There's been this interesting balance between the sides so far, and this is it. We're going to find out if it's going to tilt all the way one way or if it'll stay balanced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was a little nervous once I heard, like, I was rooting for that pendulum to swing as much as I like Jed and Ty, and like, they're probably my favorites right now. I was like, all right, we can see this bounce back and forth. But as soon as I heard that double eviction, I was like, all right, I don't know if I can have the momentum going that way leading into it. So we've talked me into it. I'm good with the result. It sounds interesting, so I'm excited to see it play out.
Yeah, they're
to send the roadshow out the dojo.
No. Oh, but Taryn, if Rohan gets eliminated, like, you have to ask him, how do you pronounce your name? Like, please ask him that, because it's like Rohan. Like, the amount of times I've heard it, I cannot. Like, and he says it, that that's his name. So, right, like, well, I don't want to. Yeah. So I need to know, because as an Indian, like, it's Rohan, like H-U-N.
Right. That's, so I've always, like, the second he said his name, I was like, oh, that's not what I expected, but okay.
Right. So, you know, so, but we hope he's not eliminated. But if he ever is, please, I need to know.
You know what? I probably will not ask him, if I'm being honest.
Turns like, no.
You are free to. Oh, you are free to.
Oh, wait, I know. I'll tweet him.
It does get me questions for us in the chat. We can answer some questions here. If you guys are interested, we're at just about an hour. I mean, it's fun to speculate, but until we know exactly what Beth wants to do to There's only so much speculation to be done. So we can take some questions. We can do that. We can make it happen. It's,
if anyone has any.
Yeah. Hold on.
First of all, this is not a good talk. Unfortunately.
It won't be a good talk, but we'll make it happen. Let's see here. Who do you want to win HOH in the double eviction? Do we have any hopes here? I'm assuming that every single week in the Stockwatch survey, people have been saying we want Ro to win HOH. Is Ro the person that we want to win the double if he survives?
We all know my answer. So yeah, we know it's Rohan for me, at least.
Yeah. I've been going back between like Ro and Tina because I would like to see Tina make that move. But I ultimately would rather see Tina make that move in a week rather than letting her get away with it in 1 hour. So I would go Ro.
There is a question from Lisa in the chat. What is Tina's best move to make it to the end and win? I mean, at this point, you gotta start winning things. That's pretty much it. I think she's in a fine position. I think if Tina is the person to take a shot, in the double eviction or whenever, and then is able to sort of ride that down, I think that's a great place to be. If somebody else takes a shot, then I think she'll just need to win some competitions in the end. It's still a tough path, I think, for Tina. She does not have like a structured end game in place. But, you know, she is still probably one of the safer people in the house for the end game, to get to the end game. And then she'll just need to win some of those competitions. So that's what it's going to be about here for Tina. I know she studied hard for this this quiz comp, and she did not make it too far. So that's going to be a tricky spot, because if she can't win competitions, then she's going to start to get in a position where she's drawn dead. Even if she does make it to the end, she'll probably be dragged there. So, you know, things aren't looking super, super great for Tina here, Melissa.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, at this point, she's okay still. But I do think that, you know, she's getting to crunch time where she's really going to have to start winning and start picking it up. I mean, there's only so far that you can kind of rely on this, like, I'm going to sit back and be good with everyone sort of strategy. It's like, okay, yes, but then what? So yeah, I don't know.
Vic leaving would be a huge win for Tina this week. And then they would need to win that double eviction HOH. And then things are looking very good for Tina. But until that happens, if she loses an ally here, then that double eviction is it. They either win it or it's like, it's really, really going to look bleak. Melissa, I believe you are now out of the draft, I'm being informed.
Oh, cool. Bring it up, Taryn.
Hey, well, I blame Lauren in the chat. This is not me. Yeah. I'm just reading the comments.
Yeah, sure you are. That's your bot account over there. I'm sure. They're just like, oh, Melissa sucks, right, guys? That's my question.
How is Melissa doing in the Stockwatch is my question.
I did terribly last week, but I hope maybe I've turned it around. Who knows? We'll see. I at least remember to do something. And no, to be fair, I did not remember, but I got reminded to do something this week. So I did. And so I made some moves. We'll see.
All right. who should we assume is safe while making buys and sells on the Stockwatch with the double impending? I think that's really going to depend on what happens here. Vic leaving and Ro leaving are two vastly different outcomes for the week. And I think those will dramatically change the ratings for the week as well. So we're just going to have to see here. Who do we think has more say in TNT? Between Tina and Tara, who's got more say in the direction of their lines? I feel like it's Tara most of the time. But like Tina keeps Tara in check. Tina kind of like puts a box around Tara and says, these are your boundaries. Go and play. And she's unsupervised, right? But within that box.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think also Tara's just louder of the two, right? Yeah. Versus I think Tina makes moves in silence, which I think that's why I think we want her to win, because we know that she's playing, you know, like she's strategic. I think she's like seeing the board a little better. But yeah, I think Tara's just louder and Tina might go with the flow a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we got some more compliments for the, we got another quiz competition. I forgot to mention this, but again, quiz competition, still nothing super physical. I'm so pleased about these competitions, Scott. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very happy with the direction. We've been mixing up who's winning every competition, so I'm excited about that. I like how, the variety of results we've gotten.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else that we want to bring up here tonight before we wrap up this podcast? Melissa, any thoughts?
No, just excited to see what happens. I feel like I say that every single time you ask for like a wrap up thing, but it's true. It's like, you know, I am excited to see what Beth does. I do feel like this is a turning point for her, and I don't know. I can't wait to see it.
All right, Scally, any final thoughts here tonight?
No, like I said, I've been talked into, this was an okay result. We get to see if Beth can finally, you know, she's recognized she needs to set herself apart, and let's see if she can do it this week.
All right, Sasha, any final thoughts?
Praying for my girl Beth to, you know, take us to the next, to the promised land well, and not just like a snow, you know, like snowball, like, and just finish it all. Let's see.
All right, well, that's what we have for you tonight. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Hopefully this season isn't
it's past a point of no return.
Pasta. I'm gonna go eat some pasta. The Canadian way.
Never giving that up. Thank you guys again. You can find me on Twitch if you want to hang out with me. I stream some Fall Guys, some Among Us. I talk about the feeds all the time. I'm live every morning 11 a.m. Eastern here on Rob Has a Podcast, talking about the feeds, updating you guys on everything that's happening. We're also live after every episode. Tomorrow morning, I will have an exit interview with Austin that will be posted as well with the update, and on YouTube as a separate video. Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, a lot to talk about with this Circle season, guys. It's a lot going on. So make sure you tune in to Circle Podcast as well. Melissa, where are you doing things?
You can find me on all social media. It's Melissa with 3 A's. And that's what I'm up to.
All right. Scally, where can people find you?
Well, I'm on Twitter at Brian_Scally, where I'll just retweet anything that's coming up. This week I was on New Girl, Old Guy, talking about season 2, episode 5 of New Girl with Ali and Akiva. So that was a lot of fun. People should check that out. And if you're already listening to Ali and Brian's challenge wrap up coverage on the challenge, and you want even more, Challenge All Stars started this week, which was a lot of fun. Definitely getting all those old school faces back in there. So myself and Matt Ligori are talking about the challenge over on the Dom and Colin podcast.
All right, Sasha.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at funsize_04 and over at Silent Podcast on YouTube, where we chat a little bit of all these crazy wild reality shows. And follow me on Twitter for any other updates about that as well.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. Another great eviction night here, Big Brother Canada 9. And see you all next time.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.